Good afternoon and hello, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This is episode 161 of your JRPG Report. My name is James Fisher. Thank you so much for tuning in again this week. We've got a fun podcast for you guys today. Not a ton of things to talk about, but we do have some informations and various things going on in our JRPG world. If you're looking for something to play right now today, there is that upgraded remaster of Saga Frontier Remastered, which is actually out today. So if you're a fan of the old PS1 classic, we've covered it a time or two here on the show before, you can go out and download that right now. It's available for PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, and iOS devices as well. Just wanted to kind of throw that out there before I forgot and got too far into it. The first thing I want to talk about is we're going to head to Final Fantasy VII Integrated Land. We've got some new information in particular, all about the Yuffie DLC episode, which has now a name. It is being called Episode Intermission. I think that's a pretty clever play on things. It is going to be a secret mission. I wonder if it'll be a sneaking mission, since we do have a ninja. we'll have to wait and see. Square Enix released a bunch of new information and screenshots for the upcoming Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrated, newly dubbed Episode Intermission. There was a voice cast announced for it. Now, I will read these names off to you. Please be kind. If I named one of your favorite voice actors or somebody who you really care for their work and I mispronounced their name, I am sorry. I apologize. So Yuffie is going to be voiced by Suzy Yuang. I believe that's how you say her last name. Y-E-U-N-G. Sion or Sonon, how do you say his name, is by Alex Lee, which spells his name L-A-L-E-K-S. These new characters that we're going to be talking about today, we will go into them as we go through, because I'll just be naming names. You'll be like, who's that? Well, who is that? We know Yuffie and Sonon. I guess from now on until proven otherwise, I'm going to call him Sonon. So first off, Episode Intermission is, they say, amidst the confusion of Mako Factor 5's destruction, Wutai makes its move on the city of Midgar. Yuffie and her partner Sonon, two elite ninja operatives for the Wuatine government, have been assigned a dangerous mission: to steal the Shinra Electric Power Company's most powerful materia. Now, maybe I forget. Maybe this was talked about in the original. It's been so long, I don't remember. I wonder what the most powerful one is. Would that be Ultima? Could it be a summon like Bahamut? That's a good question, I think. I don't think it's holy. That is something a little bit different, or Meteor, or, you know, maybe that's what they're talking about. Who knows? We shall find out in Episode Intermission. Perhaps, they say, together with Avalanche HQ's support, they cross behind enemy lines to reclaim their homeland's former glory and exact revenge long in the making. Unbeknownst to Yuffie, however, the wheel of fate is turning, and unforeseen consequences await. So first, let's talk about Yuffie Kazagargi. I always butcher her last name. I'm sorry. But that's my best try. Voiced by Suzy Yang in English. And they say she's a member of Wutai's elite corps of ninja operatives. Yuffie styles herself as both a ravishing beauty and a world-class materia hunter. Using her signature oversized throwing star and exceptional agility, she is a force to be reckoned with. Determined to reclaim her homeland's former glory and acting on orders from the government, she sneaks into Midgar. We didn't learn anything about Sonon here, but we do learn a bit about Avalanche HQ. So they say this is Avalanche's strongest force, which carries out anti-Shinra activities under the ideology of the planet life science. Unlike Barrett's sect of Avalanche, who chose the radical means of blowing up a Mako reactor, as radical as you get, Avalanche HQ is trying to free Midgar from the Shinra companies while protecting the lives of its citizens. Cooperate with Shinra HQ in the mission to seize the, quote, ultimate materia, end quote, to build a relationship with the new Wutan government. First, you're going to meet, oh boy, how do you say this guy's name? Zihije? Z-H-I-J-I-E. Ziggy? Who knows? He is voiced by Griffin Portai. I guess that's how you say his last name. P-U-A-T-U. And they say, and his quote is, a W is anyone who lives where you just came from. Think of it as a code name. He is a Wutaian living in Midgar who acts as the point of contact between the new Wutai government and Avalanche HQ. His silver tongue and fleet-footedness have given him a leg up in life down in the Undercity. He acts as a guide for Yuffie upon her arrival in Midgar. And you've got Neo. She is voiced by Ashley Butcher. She was born and raised in the Undercity. Neo is a member of Avalanche HQ who keeps a close eye on the Splinter Cell's comings and goings. After receiving a request for cooperation from the new Wutai government, she makes sure that Yuffie and her partner have the necessary IDs to make it back safely from the plate. Is that your IT department, basically, for Shinra HQ? And they have a character named Billy Bob. I'm not making that up. Voiced by David Goldstein. A member of Avalanche HQ and lifelong undersea resident, he is by far the most experienced of the group, though few would know about it, given his laid-back, laissez-faire attitude. He is a heavy drinker, and he'll be found at the local bars, all while gathering intelligence. And then you got Polk, and he's a younger-looking guy. You can take all these images and characters and stuff I'm talking about today. I did put together a little slideshow and throw it on our YouTube channel, or you can click the link on our social media channels, either on Facebook or Twitter, and get all this information and images as well. So Polk was born and raised in the Undercity. He is the youngest and newest member of Avalanche HQ. And consequently, that means he is treated as the younger brother of the team. His current passion is a board game that's taken the Undercity by storm called Fort Condor. So perhaps a little bit of foreshadowing here. As you may recall, in the original Final Fantasy VII, there was the Fort Condor mission that you tried to get rescue the Phoenix materia up top of it. So maybe that's how they're going to work Fort Condor and not make it into a real-time strategy type of game. Now, the character I'm most interested in appears to be a new bad guy. He is Weiss. He is voiced by Damon Mills. He is known as Weiss the Immaculate. He is the sadistic ruler of Shinra's top secret underground research facility, Deep Ground. Fearing his overwhelming strength, Shinra scientists have restrained him to a throne deep in the confines of the facility. There, under inhumane conditions, he bides his time, waiting to exact his revenge. Dude looks pretty formidable. He has got dual swords and, of course, required spiky hair. Probably looks a little more on the Kingdom Hearts bad guy scale than maybe with some of the typical Final Fantasies, but, you know, they're kind of one and the same. We did get an introduction into battle, and the more I read about Yuffie's playing style, the more excited I am to get to play as her. So she is adept at both close quarters and long range combat. You'll press square to strike an enemy with her throwing star, hold square to continue attacking while putting distance between her and her foe. Now, her unique ability, she can actually, of course, throw her giant oversized shuriken, and you can do that by throw the star with the triangle button. While her weapon is away, press square to perform a long-range ninjutsu attack. I'm not very good for words today. The weapon will return to Yuffie automatically after a certain amount of time, but she can retrieve it sooner by pressing triangle. So you definitely want to check out the images for this. It shows it kind of in action. I wish there was some video to go along, but, you know, images will have to do. Now, this Najisu attack can initially is non-elemental in nature, but when you apply elemental Najisu to it, it can then change to either fire, ice, lightning, or wind, which makes it able to exploit enemy weaknesses. She also has the ability called Banishment, which is an offensive attack where ATB is spent on other commands, increase the damage dealt. It can be increased from level 1 to 3, and its affinity can be changed as well. She also has the ability Windstorm, create a gust of wind that damages nearby enemies and launches them towards you. We got to look at the new box art for the PS5 version of it. And instead of the classic Cloud looking up at the Shinra HQ building, it is a panned out. This is the Japanese box art, by the way. A panned out look at Midgar with the Final Fantasy VII Remake integrated logo kind of off-center to the right of the box. We may get that in the West as well, but that is the Japanese version of it. Remember, this is due out for PlayStation 5 on June the 10th worldwide. Assuming in the next 2 months I can track down a PlayStation 5 and purchase one, I am very, very excited about this game. It's one of those deals, when I first heard about it, I was excited, and it's kind of built a little bit more and more as we've gotten closer, and now within, you know, 2 months of it happening, I'm getting pretty excited. So if you do not have this game, you know, maybe you didn't have a PS4 and, you know, you just got a PS5, you want to get this game when it comes out, you can get a pre-order bonus now from GameStop, which has a special steelbook for it, as well as, of course, including the Intermission DLC as a part of it. So this is just through GameStop that's offering this, and so you get that limited steelbook case, which looks pretty amazing, and the DLC included. Now, this price is at $69.99. So, by my mathematical deductions, I'm guessing that this Intermission DLC is going to cost $10 if you buy it separately. I mean, maybe it's different than that, but if the game goes for $60 and they're selling the special edition that has it included for $70, that's the way I'm looking at it. Maybe it's a different, maybe I'm don't know the regular price of it, and maybe that's what's going for it, but that seems to be what I'm thinking it's going to be, which is not too bad. I mean, they're talking about this is 2 chapters long. Maybe it should be a little cheaper, but, you know, it does look like there's some pretty good production value behind this, and as well as some obvious upgrades. So if you're looking forward to getting that, that's what's going to be. They are saying that there's obviously while supplies last. So I think I shared that over on our social channels if you want to get the direct link to that. It just went live today. So if you're wanting to get this for PS5, you're probably going to want to do it pretty soon. I'm guessing they're going to go fairly quickly. One of the games that gets by far the most attention as far as YouTube views and that people are really fired up about is the Caligula Effect 2. And publisher NIS America, at least publisher here in the West, NIS America put out a new introduction trailer for the game in English. Okay, the the subtitles were in English. I believe that's the way this game is going to be presented anyway. I don't think we're going to have English voiceovers, unless I'm mistaken. But it was very nice to get some details on the game in some... a really good trailer that, I mean, I won't pretend to know what's going on. It's still pretty crazy looking, but at least I have a better idea of what's going on. So basically, it's a fantasy world that these players are trapped in. They reestablish from the first game, what's called the Go Home Club, which is a resistance group, which they say seeks to fight against Regret and her enforcers, the Abogato in musicians. So this virtual doll named Regret creates a world called Redo in order to save people from their past regrets by unknowingly imprisoning them in a simulation. But things, of course, go haywire and all wrong. So yeah, you get this cast of characters. The Go Home Club recruit a group of high schoolers to your cause, along with the virtual doll X, which seems to be kind of aiding you in your attempt to get back to reality, of course. During these breakout battles, you will utilize the imagery chain to predict your enemy's moves and form the perfect strategy and employ calculated techniques to gain a tactical advantage in combat. This one is from the story writer from the first two Persona games, writer Tadashi Satomi and director Tayuka Yamanake. They unite for a pulse-pounding, Vocaloid-inspired soundtrack, making the world of Redo a memorable visual and audio experience. Check this trailer out if you have no clue what I'm talking about. I barely do, as you can tell. There's a lot of stuff going on. I believe you're going to want to play the first game to really enjoy this one. It's from every person I've talked to, the first one was okay too good, right? Like, there was definitely some problems with it. This one seems to be have corrected some of those, and they're moving in the right direction, and people are fired up about it. So that's kind of gotten me excited to want to cover it. This game is coming out for PlayStation 4 and Switch on June 24th in Japan. North America and Europe will get it sometime this fall. So if you want to check that out, you are more than welcome to. There's also last week we had the release date trailer for Neo, The World Ends With You. We got some more information and screenshots this week, so I think there was over 50 of them in total, and I put them all into a little slideshow, and of course put them over on YouTube if you'd like to check that out. I think it's about 3 minutes long, so you'll be able to understand kind of what's going on in there. They talk about the new characters Shoka, the returning characters Kariya and Yuzuki, and the gameplay systems such as replay and pins. They say it was just another seemingly ordinary day in Shibuya, but not for Rindo. He could tell something about the city felt different. He soon finds himself caught in the telekinetic crossfire of a psychic battle unfolding in the Scramble Crossing, which is the infamous way up high scene that you see sometimes in video games. And he can now, before he can catch his breath, a girl with an ominous aura appears before him and welcomes him into the so-called Reaper's Games. With some trepidation, Rindo and his friend Fret play along, convincing themselves that a game couldn't have any serious consequences. It isn't long, however, until they start having second thoughts. Yeah, so it gets real, real fast. Dead set on returning home, they now must compete against other players in a battle for survival in Shibuya's underground, otherwise known as UG. So Rindo is one of the newest players in the Reaper's game. He is a high schooler to whom searching for info on his phone is second nature. You've got Fret, his Rindo's happy-go-lucky classmate and fellow player of the game. You have Nagi, who is a college student whose youthful appearance leads others to mistake her for that middle schooler. She does look quite young. Minamoto is a fellow player in the game. He puts his impressive psychic powers to use. Shiba currently ranks number one among the Reapers in the underground, a veteran of it. There's Shoka, who is one of the Reapers in charge of managing the game. She's less than enthused about her job of monitoring the players. Having grown bored in the game in its current state, she's not so secretly hopes someone will come along and shake things up, openly showing open disdain toward players who are slow to learn the rules. You have Kariaya, I believe that's how you say this guy's name. Despite his veteran status among the Shibuya Reapers, he has no career aspirations, content with working among low rank and file Reapers. You have Azuki, who, although her mind was once solely focused on getting ahead, Yuzuki seems to have outgrown her previous ambition for some reason or another, but her short temper hasn't changed a bit. Neo, The World Ends With You takes place in Shibuya, Tokyo. You may recognize some of the landmarks, but the city itself is depicted with an artistic touch unlike anything you've ever seen. The music, the game's vibrant soundtrack, is provided by Takaharu Ishimoto, who composed music for the previous game. Not only has he written a slew of new songs, but he has also rearranged familiar tracks from The World Ends With You, including Twister and Calling. So here's the key item called the Reaper Pin, which is the key to the Reaper's game. Reaper Pins serve as proof that one has been approved to take part in the Reaper's game. Not only do these pins grant the players the ability to telepathically scan their surroundings, but they also induce some of the wielder's own latent psychic powers. The gameplay system replay the past to change your fate. Each member of the Wicked Twisters possess their own psychic powers. Rindo boasts the ability to turn back time within a given day, allowing him to alter some of his earlier actions in hopes of bringing about a better final outcome. This replay power proves indispensable in Rindo's effort to survive the Reaper's game. That's pretty cool. So first of the pins, you have Azamaru, which is a pin bearing the shockwave psych. Slash at enemies with a flaming sword, then leap up into the air, delivering one final hit. It looks pretty cool in action. There's Angelic Kick. Activate the powerful Massive Hit psych to unleash a swift aerial quick. Fully charge the attack to send your foes flying as well. You have Glacial Getaway. This piercing pillar psych conjures an enormous icicle beneath your foes, sometimes sending them skyward. You've got some three enemies that they talk about, known as the Noise. One appears to be like a wolf with giant claws. One's a frog. Doesn't really look too terrifying. And then there's this, more or so on the terrifying scale, is this giant scorpion with a big stinger tail and claws to match. The game is looking pretty incredible. I liked what's going on here. Still don't really have a clue since I didn't play the original, but I feel like you don't have to have played the original to enjoy this one. Like everything, it'd be helpful if you had, but you know, if you got a chance to play it before it comes out, then you probably should. Neo, The World Ends With You is due out for PlayStation 4 and Switch on July the 27th worldwide, then coming to PC via the Epic Game Store later this summer. So those were the more meaty stories that I had to talk about today. The rest of them are a little quicker in detail, let's put it that way. An interesting story out of Japan today. I've been openly asking the question of when, first off, why are they not already? But then when are The Legend of Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel 1 and 2 finally going to come to the Switch? You can play them out of order if you want, because part 3 and 4 are now available on the Switch. Well, they are coming out in Japan and Asia soon. Cold Steel 1 will be out on July the 8th. Cold Steel 2 out on August the 5th. Both of these games are being developed by Clouded Leopard Entertainment, who handles Falcom's development in that area of the world in Asia. There is no English text option for these games at this time. So this would be the first thing to happen for this to come to Switch in the West. Of course, that would be handled by NIS America in the West. So I'm assuming that that's going to happen at some point. If this is, you know, July and August, I would not anticipate it probably until next year at this point. As soon as I hear something, I will let you know. But it is good news for Switch owners that these are coming, at least to Japan, and hopefully they'll come to the West as well. We got some Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis information. First up, there is a Prologue 3 live stream coming on April the 22nd at 2100 Japan Central Time. You'll be able to watch it on YouTube in both English and Japanese. They did that with the last one. It was really cool. The live stream will feature the latest information on the game, including details on the story, characters, and further new functionality of the character creator, as well as the latest news on the launch window. So yeah, right now it's just saying it's going to come out this year, so maybe it'll have more of a announcement. I think one of the biggest factors on when it's going to launch is going to be after the global closed beta test, which will start on May the 14th at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is for PC via the Microsoft Store. Registration for this global closed beta test will begin on April 21st at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time via the Xbox Insider Hub app. The beta period will have a limited number of applicants who can register on a first-come, first-serve basis. So yeah, but you can, if you want to, I would not fault you. Hit pause if you want to go ahead and get signed up for that. If you are interested, you should do that as soon as you can. They also had the announcement that there is a Sword Art Online collaboration event coming west. This is just for Phantasy Star Online 2, not talking the new Genesis line. So this will be coming to the west on May the 12th. This event already took place in Japan, so finally getting it over the west. There will be original story content involving Asuna and Kirito from Sword Art Online. So if you're looking forward to that, you've got a little bit longer to go on May the 12th if you are a Phantasy Star Online 2 player. Three short new videos for Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds. That's the kind of open world game coming to iOS and Android. There is going to be a pre-registration opening up for that, but that's in Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. Level 5 and Netmarble announced. It does have release date of June 30th, according to that app store, but this could just be kind of one of those placeholder dates. Not exactly sure what that means. There's been a good amount of information about this game and obviously these videos, but again, it's all in Japanese. No word if it's going to be a worldwide thing or not, but we'll keep an eye on that one as it looks interesting. Ni No Kuni is such a double-edged sword. As much as I loved the first one, I only kind of liked the second one. And so I'm kind of following along with this story and seeing where it goes, but just not 100% sure what exactly to make of this game. We did get some good news. Remember a little while ago, Crystales announced, I believe, a July release date. Well, it is now got an actual date, and that's going to be July the 20th for the JRPG-inspired game. It will, it's coming out for everything, right? So, name a system, it's coming out for it. And it's coming out July 20th for $39.99. Publisher Modus Games and developers Dreams Unincorporated and SYCK announced. I am really looking forward to this one. A classic love letter to JRPGs in terms of gameplay. Obviously, new and unique mechanic with the past, present, and future elements at all times going on. Check the demo out. I really enjoyed it. So especially at, you know, $39.99. It's pretty solid. I don't expect a long game. I never did. And at least, you know, now it's kind of got the price point to match my expectations for it. This next story, I don't know exactly what to make of it, so let's just throw it out there. It was teased at Perfect World Games and announced a new mobile game called Codename X. They were touting it as the first mobile entry in a famous Japanese console game series that has sold over 10 million copies worldwide. And at the moment, it was unnamed. But then speculation started to go on, like, well, that can only mean so many different things. And it finally came to be known that this is going to be a Persona 5 mobile game. There was a short trailer that got announced for it. Codename X is got the music. It's got the feel of a Persona 5 entry. They just say Codename X follows the tone of the original game and uses next-generation technology to enhance the original renders and create a realistic Japanese metropolis. The two characters that were shown, neither of which were Joker or any other of the crew from Persona 5, I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. I'm basically telling you everything that I know at this point. You can watch the trailer and kind of decipher for yourself what exactly it is. I'm going to hold off any more speculation until we see more. The obvious instant reaction is, oh no. Right? They're going to make a gacha mobile version game of one of our beloved JRPG series. If it's a spinoff and it uses the characters and it's done well, who knows what it could be, right? So let's just wait and see on this one and kind of hold off until we learn just a little bit more about it. There is an upgraded patch coming for the PC version of Nier Automata. It's currently in development, but they don't know when it's going to come out. This Square Enix came under some scrutiny earlier this month when the PC version of the game released through the Microsoft Store and Xbox Game Pass was a ported version. A fixed version. Whereas the Steam version still kind of had some issues. So, yeah, they are working to fix that. That is all that we know at this time. There was also a leak for the upcoming Nier Replicant game that showed that there was going to be some free DLC for it, including one that's content weapons set called For Yoham. So this is four costumes and four weapons from Nier Automata. They say due to the story of the game, the content may not be playable during some of the scenes. The full game sold separately is required to use this content. So I guess you need to have Nier Automata data saved to access this. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but yeah, so definitely, you know, you have the character costumes from Automata in Replicant. I'm not that surprised by that. It seems like a pretty logical thing to think about. It's going to be included with the game. This happens kind of all the time. The release date for Atelier Lady and Sewell, The Alchemist and the Mysterious Paintings DX is coming right up just ahead of the launch. We got some new information from Koei Tecmo and Gust about the game's brand new story events involving Nelki. There were some screenshots to go along with that. The enhanced version of the game will release for Switch, PlayStation 4, Windows, PC via Steam, and, well, that's it, on April the 22nd. There will be new paintings, new stories, and at least one new boss for players to enjoy. At least two of the three newly revealed stories will center around the Granzwhite tree. One story will involve Nelki asking the party about the tree's fruit, while the other story will involve a serious boss battle. These screenshots give us a better look at the Westwald Fountain, the Pumidone, the Pie Shop, the Art Gallery, Graysmith tree, and the farm with an enormous barrel. You would need to see the screenshots to understand the ridiculous, enormous barrel that they are talking about. It looks, it just looks crazy, and I kind of like it. So yeah, that one's coming out here pretty soon. They're going to be, all the mysterious titles are going to be getting a re-release, and that is pretty cool stuff for sure. One last thing to quickly pass along to you guys. Remember we talked about the PlayStation Spring Store Sale 2021. The first part of it was, I think, 2 weeks ago. Well, part two, or due, as they say, is available now. Well, how long will these go on for? Keep in mind these will be available until April 29th. So you got 2 weeks from today. The JRPGs that jumped off of me, there was not many, but the you had, let's see, God Eater 3 for $15. Monster Hunter World Iceborne Master Edition is going for $30. Iceborne alone is going for $20. And you had some Yakuza titles. Yakuza 0 is for $5. Kawaii for $5. Kawaii 2 for $10. And but the big one that I want to say is, if you've got $10 in your account or a gift card or whatever it is, go get Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen. It is absolutely worth $10, from my opinion. I paid $60 for it probably when it first came out, and another $40 on the remaster PS4 version that came out. I really, really enjoyed that game enough to play it a couple of times through and pay for it more than once. And I think you'll, for $10, you shouldn't be disappointed no matter what. That's going to do it for episode 161. Thank you so much for tuning in this week and every week. If you like what you hear, please consider financial considerations for this podcast, as well as what we do on YouTube each and every day. You can get the link for the Anchor app and do it directly through the app. And you can see the description in the podcast description below. Or if you're on Patreon, we accept help that way as well. Just search for JRPG Report, or the links are below, as well as all of our social options, website, all that good stuff, YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed over there, please, please give us a sub. I think we hit 840 the other day, and I'm going to keep counting down until we hit 1,000 and we get those oh-so-nice pennies from YouTube. My name is James Fisher. Thank you for tuning in this week. We will be back next week with a new podcast. However, the next week, I won't be here, as the 28th is me and my wife's 9th wedding anniversary, and we have decided to finally take an anniversary trip back to where we went on our honeymoon and spend a couple days down there. And we've vacationed at this spot at other times, but never actually on our anniversary, so I think that's pretty cool, and are quite looking forward to a couple days of a day or two is really all we can get away for, so better than nothing, right? So yeah, no podcast. Yes, podcast next week. No podcast the week after, as we'll be gone right in the middle of the week. So unless something breaks major and I do a weekend one, we'll just take a week off. So thank you so much, guys. We'll catch you back here next week for more fun here on the JRPG Report. Till next time, get back out there and level up.